It's time for today's AM Minnesota program, and we are going to be talking about conservation programs again. Al Krause is in studio. Al?
My official title, Jerry, is the soil health specialist. That's it. And I work with both rice and steel, SWCD. Yeah. Yep.
And Steve Poss in studio. Of course, Steve is the executive director or manager of the Rice County SWCD. Close enough, Steve?
Close enough. Good morning.
Always enjoy visiting about conservation programs. Number one, to help get the word out to farmers, landowners, but also for the folks that are just listening to maybe get a little better understanding of that special attachment between farmers and their land.
Yeah, great. Jerry, again, thank you very much for having us in here this morning. We really like to have this opportunity here to just share with farmers, landowners, about this program that's still continuing to be funded through the Soil and Water Conservation Districts here in Minnesota. The program actually was supposed to begin in early spring of last year, but it really got put on pause until, probably the late summer months. And so we've been working on that through the winter here. We're taking contracts and applications from farmers here in Rice and in Steele County as well. What we found out here a couple of weeks ago was that funding is still available and should remain available for at least a few more months. Of course, there's an end at some point coming with when that funding is going to run out. But Steve and I became aware of this about 2 weeks ago, and we really wanted to share that information with listeners, let them know that we're still very busy taking applications in. And I think, I'll let Steve go into some of the detail around what the programs are, what we're actually funding.
I know, Steve, when you first became aware of this program and you got a hold of me, thank you very much for thinking of me, but you made a point that what was so different about this program was the level of funding. In the past, we had so much, a pot of money, and it was usually pretty limited. But this program had a lot of funds to help a lot of farmers and landowners.
It does. It's something that SWCDs aren't used to, with this kind of size of the funding. But we've been really trying to seize on the opportunity and get as much of that funding out to the local farmers here in Rice County, Steele County. And well, all the SWCDs are working pretty hard on this. Every program in each county is a little bit different. But we can kind of go into some of the details of what it's like here in Rice County.
Yeah, I always like to point that out because thanks to you guys, this next year my peas are going to be in Waseca County, and I got signed up. And I think this will be the first year that I'm going to get any money for planting cover crops. At least I think I'm going to get some, although through there was a program, ADM or somebody, and I did get a little bit here a couple years ago. But I'm signed up for Waseca County for this next year. At least I've done everything I have to so far to be signed up for it.
Okay. So, yeah. So we started taking applications probably about in the month of September last year. And we got about 14 applications funded so far for about $300,000. And we've got another $300,000 or so in applications that we're working on right now. We expect that we'll be able to fund most of those, if not all, and then some more. So, we really encourage people to keep signing up if they're interested in doing cover crops. Or
windbreaks too, wasn't it?
Windbreaks is another practice that we're offering. And then the other one is converting from conventional tillage to no-till or strip-till or a combination thereof. And then, in Steele County, there's a few more options. I don't know what those are, Al.
It's the same set of practices. Cover crops, strip-till and no-till, and windbreaks.
That's what's cool, though, is each SWCD, each county can kind of prioritize what's important to them. Now, if you got up in Dakota County with the metro, maybe there are some other things, and that's what's cool, that each county can kind of tailor it for what their needs are rather than one system fits all from Washington, D.C., or even the state of Minnesota. Minnesota is a big state.
Yeah, and the other thing, each county has done differently is the payment rates are slightly different county to county, and that's also try to reflect those local priorities. So here in Rice County, for example, you can get between $50 and $60 an acre for planting cover crops and $25 to $35 an acre for doing no-till.
Is there something in there for, say, example, a strip-till machine? Maybe somebody buys one, and now Jerry and Al and Steve are going to hire that person then to come and strip-till their farm. Is there anything there for rental, too?
Well, we not through this program, but I guess, you know, if you have several hundred acres that you sign up and, you know, you're getting, say, 20 or 30,000 a year, you know, you can use that money
to make
however you want. And, you know, maybe that means you can purchase that strip till machine now.
Or hire the service, to get that practice on your landscape. Yep.
It is nice to hear that you've already had a lot of interest, but now you have some more funding besides.
Well, yeah, I mean, the state received about $25 million for this program, and there's still roughly $10 million left. And so it's sort of competitive between the counties. You know, whoever gets the most utilization of it, you know, you can keep applying for additional funds once you've
used your allocation.
Yeah. So that's what we're trying to do is get that money out the door as quick as we can so we can request another round.
Now, I remember, Al, the first time we talked about this program, how did you politely term it, paperwork heavy?
Yes, we sure did. That would have been the politest way that I would have ever described it. It is a bit paper heavy. There are just a lot of little hoops that need to be jumped through. And, of course, all around accountability of how these funds move out onto the landscape. And you know, we've been talking about getting these funds out on the landscape or getting these funds out to farmers. And really what it is our pure purpose here in all of this is getting these practices on the landscape. It's the practices on the landscape that make the difference, whether you're growing a cover crop or not growing a cover crop. Growing that cover will build that soil health, will build that soil biology. In time, that puts money back in your pocket.
Or the same way, less tillage is going to the same thing.
Totally. On the tillage side, of course, there's immediate savings up front with less passes over the field, less destruction of soil organic matter.
Less compaction.
And so it's the practices that Steve and I are really compelled to want to see out on the landscape. I mean, handing out money, yeah, it's fun, right? But it really is an opportunity for farmers to put the practices in place and get some of that early tuition is really what it is, paid for, so that you can learn how these practices benefit you long-term. That's really our effort.
And now back to some of that paperwork, I assume that most farmers, landowners, then are going to get some help from their local SWCD. If you've done it a lot, you know a little bit more about how to help us through it.
Yeah, you know, the paperwork load is really on our side.
You so love paperwork.
Yeah.
But if it's going to benefit the land, you're more than happy to help.
We are. I mean, we kind of, you know, initially it was a little daunting, but once we kind of got things figured out, it's not so bad. And like I say, the farmers aren't the ones that are having to do it. You know, we need some basic information from them, but we can do most of the other stuff on our own, you know. So
do we have some practices that are set to go then for this next year already?
Absolutely.
Yes.
I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, probably about 2,000 acres of cover crops and another 2,000 of strip-till or no-till that are committed for, most of them are for three-year contracts.
And we're talking Rice County.
And Steele County would have their own. And I always make the point then of talk to your local county SWCD, get involved and get the details and get them started on the paperwork. I'm sure they enjoy it too.
That's right.
Yeah. And Steve is right about saying that, you know, the paper part of it is really on the staff side to move that through. We do need to have that initial visit. We need to have an authorization from the farmer to allow FSA to share their crop maps, their field maps with Steve, with the SWCD. That's what gets it started. And so that initial visit will involve getting that authorization form signed, and then we can start to move through the whole process.
I got that done remotely, just on the phone, talking to the Waseca County SWCD, and then got a DocuSign or something that allowed them to access my information. And that lessens the paperwork on me and probably the SWCD, too, if you can just go to FSA, because, you know, you guys work together a lot anyway, and get my history.
Yeah, and the Farm Service Agency and NRCS have both been really excellent to work with on this process of getting these applications processed. So, you know, it's really a team effort and been going very smoothly.
Well, we have to take a break for the markets. When we come back, we want to talk more about this program that it isn't too late to get in on. We'll talk more with Steve and Al right after the market update, sponsored by the KDHL Agri-Boosters. They include Craig Keller over at the Keller Insurance Agency in Near Strand. Craig does help protect all things important to you. Also, Werner Farm Seed Addendus for quality seed at reasonable prices, including cover crop seed. Be sure to check with Paul or Gene, 507-645-7995. The market update was sponsored by the KDHL Agri-Boosters, including Werner Farm Seed at Dundas for quality seed at reasonable prices, including cover crop seed. Give Paul or Gene a call, 507-645-7995. Also, Craig Keller over there at the Keller Insurance Agency in Near Strand. Have a little bit of class in the studio today, not quite as much as when the ladies come in for the birthday club, but close. How's that for a compliment? That's Steve Paas giggling in the back.
I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah, Steve Paas, Executive Director of the Rice County SWCD, and Al Krause, a Soil Health Specialist with Rice and Steele County.
See, there you go. You got it, Jerry.
I caught on. Before the break, you know, we were talking about this program. A lot of funds available to help farmers adopt conservation practices like strip till, no till, or much more minimum till, planting cover crops, and windbreaks. We didn't talk much about windbreaks, but would qualify. Maybe you need a new windbreak for your farmstead, or this is something my dad and I did. Oh, going back about 35 years now, took up the rusty old line fence and the woven wire and planted a windbreak half mile across that 80.
Yeah, you know, the practice, you look around the county and most farmsteads have one. They're in various conditions, though. You know, the Emerald Ash Borer has done a number on all the ash trees, which was a really popular tree to put in your windbreak.
Well, I hate to tell you this, but the windbreak for the farmstead, cottonwoods and things came out, and box elders, and in went, I think, honeysuckles and ash trees. And same thing along that half mile on that 80 to the north, knock on wood yet, but they're still doing okay.
That's good. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of windbreaks out there that could use some help. This is an opportunity to help cover those costs if you want to refurbish it or maybe have a newer farmstead and you want to put one in. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a really good opportunity. We're paying like about $1.50 an acre, or not an acre, per
linear
foot.
Yeah.
Linear
mm-hmm.
foot, you know, so if you have 1,000 feet of row, that's, you know, $1,500, you can get a pretty good amount of trees for that price.
Or across an 80, that would be about half a mile. That would be about 2,600 feet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe this isn't a fair question for you guys. Maybe that's a forester, but what are the species that are recommended now for a windbreak?
Well, I mean, it varies based on soil type. And,
Even in Rice County, it varies from one county to the other.
But, you know, we'd like to see some conifers. You know, it's nice to have two or three
rows,
for sure.
Don't get too fancy at conifers. Is that evergreens?
Evergreens, yes, yes. Spruces, pines, that sort of thing. So one row of those, a row of deciduous or hardwood trees, and then a row of shrubs. Typically on the outside of the windbreak to kind of help lift the wind up.
Up and over.
Yeah.
Get it started going up already before it hits the other trees.
But it doesn't have to be that way, you know. Ultimately, whatever your needs are, we try to accommodate as best we can. Mm. So if you only have room for one row, for example, we probably can work with that.
Yeah. You know, Alan, you work a lot with cover crops. And isn't it interesting that cover crops can help control the major pain in the backside of most farmers out in their fields is
you're going to say wind. Oh, okay, yeah, water hemp. Yeah, for sure.
And we found out the last couple of years when it was so wet, how much that crop canopy and shielding and shading the ground if you've got some open area a little later on in the season and sunlight gets to the ground, water hemp says, yeehaw.
Yeah. There's, in fact, it's interesting you bring that up. I'm going to a full-day workshop down in Austin, Minnesota, on weed management. So I'll be able to tell you more tomorrow afternoon. How about that?
I already talked about that yesterday with Mark Rettier, interview on what was coming up.
Mark is going to be there tomorrow. Yeah, I'm going to go to that meeting.
But isn't it ironic that the more we learn, the more we realize what Mother Nature is trying to show us how to do the right thing.
Right, yeah. There's no doubt that if we don't put a plant there that we want there, then Mother Nature will put a plant there.
Exactly.
We've known that for a long time. Yeah, this should be really interesting. I said I'm going. I guess Steve and I are going together. I should have mentioned that. We're both going to be down there.
It's tough, though, when you farm where I do. You just got three farms, and they're in three different counties. So when I signed up, my control county was Waseca County, but then they closed that FSA, but they kept the SWCD over there. So now I work with Steele County, still kind of with Waseca County. So I wanted to sign up then for next year. The peas are going to be in Waseca County. And I said, the next year they're going to be in Freeborn County. So could you just kind of take care of it? Because it's, I mean, right across the road.
And, you're too big of a landowner there,
yeah,
Jerry.
Really. And the board at Waseca County said, no, you should work with Faribault County on that. So I assumed that then for the following year, I could sign up in Faribault County. Next year, it would be in Faribault County again. So, because this is a you can sign up for 3 years.
Three years is eligible yet. Yet this year. The program runs, this federal funded program that SWCDs are running for the federal government, ends on December 31st, 2028. So this year yet, in 2026, we're still eligible to sign up for 3 years of cost share on cover crops and on no-till for that matter. If the monies continue to be available into next year, then those contracts would only be eligible for 2 years of funding. Now, having said that, it's really the landowner's, the farmer's discretion. If you want just 1 year or you just want 2 years for a practice, move it around from field to field, that is something that is allowed under this program. And we've done a fair amount of that already.
That's really nice, a little bit of flexibility.
A lot of flexibility. Mm-hmm. And I want to kind of make one other thing really clear. And I think some people think that you can only sign up for the cover crop payment part of it, or you can only sign up for the reduced tillage part of it. That's not the case. You can sign up for both of those practices and the windbreak practice. All of those practices are eligible for you to use on your farm. You can stack a cover crop payment for 3 years along with a no-till payment for 3 years on the same field. So that's something I think that, you know, I want to be really clear about that. It usually, and Steve knows better than I on this, that has not been the case with many of the SWCD programs in the past.
Yeah, because of the federal guidelines or whatever, it was a little more restricted. So why?
Well, the thing that was restricting it was the amount of money we had. Yeah. And so we kind of had to prioritize what we wanted to accomplish. But right now, that's not as much of a factor. So if guys want to sign up for all those different things, they certainly can.
And now, once again, if you aren't in Rice or you're in another county, you need to check with your local SWCD.
Yep.
They have access to this program. They might have a little bit different limits or on how much an acre you get paid or limits on how many acres. Every county has some discretion.
And there are other soil health practices that could be available in different counties. We're just talking about the ones that we're offering, but some other counties might offer some other things as well. So,
but the idea is call sooner rather than later.
Yeah,
because and get the process started.
Yep. Like I said, this money is, we think it's going to be around for at least another 6 months, but I would say get in as soon as you can to sign up because there's a lot of interest.
Like I mentioned before the break, I've signed up now for this next year for 40 acres in Waseca County. I never even asked how many dollars would be because I'm going to plant the cover crop after peas anyway. So anything I get
is helpful
I get.
To you.
Yeah, it's helpful to you. During the break, I showed you guys a picture of my 2 bushels of oats I had air flowed on and 1.5 pounds of tillage radishes. Got it done right when the state fair was starting. It did rain. The only time all darn summer it doesn't rain is when I want it to rain. We got a rain the 25th of September. And why don't you explain, Al?
Oh, beautiful. That's a pretty impressive heavy cover crop that grew there, no doubt about it.
And how big those tillage radishes got. Do you think they'll aerate the soil a little bit?
Yeah, there's no doubt. So Jerry had a photo and the the size of the tuber from the radish was larger than
the diet coke.
I won't say a beer can, but it looked sort of like a can of beer that was there, Jerry.
Might have been
a soda can.
But and you could see where the soil level was. And so that tuber must have been going almost a foot into the soil, and then the taproot farther. So why I started planting the tillage radish, just thinking if there is a hard pan down there, a compacted layer, it might break it up. Probably not as good as a three-year-old stand of alfalfa, but it would still help.
Yeah, and there's no doubt that the tillage radish has been kind of a go-to plant to help really alleviate compaction and break up that plow pan.
Now, before I interrupt you to brag a little bit on how well my cover crops, you were going to say something else.
Yeah, you know, kind of coming back to the program a little bit, we've been saying, of course, that each of these counties, each of these SWCDs have a SWCD board, and the board forms the policy that really directs how the funds are used within that county. Each county board, each SWCD board kind of looks at that differently. It sets what their priorities are, how they want to use that funding. They can set things like the acre limits that they would apply to. We've been finding out how wide that varies in terms of how different SWCD boards have looked at the policy around how to use these funds. I think Steve and I wanted to share with your listeners today sort of what the metrics are here, the policy here in Rice is. And Steve mentioned the cost share levels. Mm-hmm. So it was $50 to $60 an acre on cover crops and $25 to $35 an acre on strip till or no till. Steve, help me out on the numbers on the acres here, please.
So the cover crops, you can sign up to 500 acres per contract and 750 acres for the reduced tillage practice.
Per year.
Yeah, per year. So,
per year.
Boy, and those are some big numbers compared to what we've kind of been accustomed to with different programs through the SWCD and NRCS.
Yeah, some of the contracts that we've written, you know, are up in the $80,000 to $90,000 range, which is really unheard of. It's real money. And as we've said, that's not the goal, but it really helps in adopting the practice, which is what we're trying to
do. Especially during these tough economic times right now. Mm-hmm. So
And if you're going to get the practices on the landscape and you don't have a lot of experience with doing that, you really do want to seek out and get this financial assistance to make it so that those early years aren't so costly to your back pocket. And, you know, there's a lot of opportunity to learn from what others have done. Having this financial assistance in front of you really, really helps pave the way to have it being a long-term practice that you stay with for the rest of your farming career.
And you made a key point, too, because if you haven't done it before, so it's like, gee, what kind of cover crops do I plant? Yeah. And you hear about some people, 6-7 different species, and I found that just two species work really well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, we always talk about how when you're getting into cover crops for the first time, the easiest way to get into the door is just use cereal rye. It's simple. It works really well. Easy to kill in the spring. So don't make it too complicated. And then, you know, after you've done it a few years, maybe you want to explore a little bit more and do some different mixes. But, you know, we try to keep it simple for the guys that are just getting into it.
Many years when I've had the peas taken off, my pork producing neighbors poop on me in a good way. So I've got this manure there now, and it's going to be corn next year. So I'm a little worried about a cereal rye that's a perennial. I don't need to worry about terminating oats and tillage radishes because Mother Nature does it for me.
Right. Yep.
Let me just correct you for a second on that one, Jerry. The cereal rye is what we would call a biennial, right?
Oh.
So it's not a perennial in that last from year to year to year to year. It'll germinate in the fall. And this is what your hesitancy is. It'll germinate in the fall. It'll go dormant over the winter and then get green again and come back to life in the spring.
And but that's it. Then.
That's what's bugging you is that you don't want to have to see that there in the spring. And so these overwintering terminating covers are really a great way to go. Oats, radish, kale is really good, a great cover crop to put in the fall like that. It'll get green. Kale can stay green, can continue to down to 15 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, that's even more than the oats until its radish
until it finally gives out. And so, yeah, there are some species that, winter kill without having to worry about doing that termination in the spring. Work really nicely, especially ahead of things like corn or soybeans. Mm. Cereal rye after corn ahead of soybeans is a really good way to get into planting a cover crop.
But my point was, you don't need to do trial and error. You've got your local SWCD who know people that you can talk to, reputable seed dealers for cover crop, and they have all those contacts to make your transition much easier than the innovators 20 years ago.
Definitely. I would agree with that.
We've been working with this stuff for a long time now and have really gotten a lot of experience, so feel pretty confident in what we're recommending.
Well, we are out of time, but once again, if you're in Rice County, get a hold of you guys at the Rice County SWCD. If you're in Steele County, Goodhue, Waseca, Dakota, no matter, get a hold of your SWCD to get the details and see if something works for you.
Yeah, great. Again, thank you very much, Jerry. Really, really good to be with you again.
And you guys keep me in the loop. When there's something to talk about, you're on the air.
Thank you.
That concludes today's AM Minnesota program.